For the last couple of months, my family and I have just been getting used to Avalon and to living in the northern beaches and looking around and getting lost and trying to work out how this place works a little bit. But last year, we had the chance, when we realised that this would be the place we were going to move to, where we'd be living, we had the chance to kind of come up and check it out, check out the northern beaches. And what we did, we went up to the Newport Arms for lunch. And the Newport Arms is a great place. We went down to the beer garden there, and I remember it was a sunny day, and I remember I had a beer in one hand and a plate of nachos in the other. We're looking out over Pittwater, and I just thought, this place is perfect, absolutely perfect. And then a seagull came along, bombed the nachos, and it was just a little reminder, this is not perfect. This place isn't perfect. There's something not quite right. So we've been in Avalon for a few months, and when you're first here, it's a beautiful place. There's amazing beaches, beautiful houses. People are really friendly. The lifestyle is great. But if you look closely, if you start to just peel away the layers a little bit, you see, it's not perfect. There's something not quite right about Avalon. And what Jesus says to us this morning in this part of the Scriptures is it's our role as the church, it's our responsibility to help the people in Avalon, to help the people who are kind of lost and in darkness. It's our responsibility. Why don't we pray? Dear Lord, help us to hear your word today. We ask that you would place the Beatitudes so clearly on our hearts that they would change us. Make us into your disciples, your true disciples, and help us to do what is good and what is right, to live out the radical discipleship of your kingdom, and to truly be your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is wrong with Avalon? The first thing is, if you go to that main intersection, there's actually four zebra crossings. That's weird. That's so weird. If you want to turn right, takes you about 20 minutes. That's so strange. But what is really wrong with Avalon? What's its problem? It's in decay. Avalon is going bad. It's filled with broken people, people who are lost, people who are in darkness. People who are trying to deal with it on their own strength, in their own pride, who are filling their lives with entertainment and distractions. It's not perfect. There's actually something wrong with Avalon. And let's just take one issue. You can kind of see it's fairly visible. It's the binge drinking. It's not drinking to relax or celebrate. It's drinking as kind of a race to the floor. It's trying to fill some kind of a void. It's masking some kind of pain. It's searching for some sort of a purpose out there. Now, I don't think it's just me as an Anglican minister who thinks that. I think this is a truth that other people who have nothing to do with God think this as well. For instance, if you get charged with drink driving in this area, your name gets published in the local paper. That's so weird. This is the newspaper saying, enough is enough. This is our DUI disgrace. Not just your name, but your age, the suburb you're from, the penalty that you receive. And the Manly Daily writes, you know, this is a big issue. This is a billion-dollar issue, medical expenses, people, you know, taking the hospital. And they're grappling with this problem in some way, and they're kind of trying to explain it. And they say, well, it's a safety issue, and it's a medical issue, and it's a financial issue. But the real problem is spiritual one. The real problem is that Avalon is decaying. It's going bad. It's because Avalon is in darkness. It's because Avalon needs God's help. And the way that God helps Avalon is through his church, through us. Now you may think, what can I do about this issue or about other things in Avalon? What can I do? Well, what we need to see is that the time that we've spent looking at the Beatitudes, verses 1 to 10, have been about character, the character of God's people. And this next section that we're looking at is about our influence. So it's character and then influence. And we are to be people who are so filled and changed and of that kind of character of the first 10 verses that our influence for good spills out to the suburb that we live in. We're to be an influence for good in a hard and a tough world. God's going to use us, the church, to serve the world that may persecute us. And we're to do this, Jesus says, by being light to the world, by being salt to the earth. Salt and light. And Jesus is saying there are two distinct communities. He's saying there is the world. He's saying there is the church. They're two distinct communities that exist. He says, you, the church, are the light to the world, this other community. You, the church, are the salt to this other community, the earth. You are the salt of the earth, it says in verse 13. This is a great metaphor. Salt and light are both great because we're familiar with both of them. They're in our own homes. What does he mean by salt? Well, he's referencing the idea that salt is used as a preservative. Salt is used in the time before refrigerators to stop things decaying, to stop things going badly. And that's our role, being salt to the earth. We're to be involved in stopping things decaying, in stopping things going bad. Wherever we are, in our society, in our city, in our suburb, in our street. Well, what does this mean? It means if there is a fight, we are to stop it. When things are going bad, we are to preserve it, halt it from going badly. We are called to be peacemakers. It means if there are people who are marginalized, people who are looked over, we are to stop things going bad. We are to stop it. We are called to show mercy to those groups of people. I just want to ask how you went this week, having been challenged deeply last week by the Beatitudes. How did you go? How did you go being a peacemaker? How did you go showing mercy? I struggled with it. This week I made I had to make 6 phone calls to a company to get them to fix a mistake that they'd made. 6 phone calls. And I didn't want to be a peacemaker. I wanted to pick a fight with them. I won't tell you what the company is. I didn't want to be a peacemaker. That obvious. I was also reminded this week that's a year since the earthquake in Haiti. There's still big problems there. And I thought to myself, it's been 12 months. I gave money to them a year ago. What is going on? Is it corruption? Is it bad management? Surely. I didn't want to show mercy. I thought there's enough problems here in our own nation, in the state just north to us. Surely. I didn't want to show mercy to those out there. How did you go this week? I think it's good to remember that this is the plan for God's kingdom. This is what it is to follow Jesus, who just lives us out perfectly. He gave us His Holy Spirit to empower us and to help us. And it's good just to say sorry, ask for His help, and try again. And our role is to be the salt of the earth. So let's be who we are. But we have to be careful that we don't lose our saltiness as the week goes on and on. In verse 13 it says, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. What a powerful picture that is. When salt loses its taste, when it's so diffused, when it's so filled with impurities, it's no longer salt. It's just white dust to be thrown out with the rest of the dirt. It has no purpose. It has no meaning. We need to be different. We need to be salty. When I was a kid and I grew up in the church with my family, I used to always think, I wish Christians were more normal. Because it's kind of a little bit threatening, because we were a little bit weird. I wish we were just a bit normal. I think this would be the solution to growing our church. It would be a bit more normal. But that's not what Jesus says. He says we ought to be different. Different enough that people actually react to us. Some of them will persecute us. Some will see that we hold on to radical ideas like peace and selfless love and mercy and humility and truth. They will see that we're trying to stop this world from going bad. And we're not to lose that saltiness as time goes on. We're not to keep it hidden so far down that it can never be seen, and it's never shown or it's never tasted. But as God's people, we have this salty character. That's verses 1 to 10. That character of salt is what we are to have. And we'd have this role of being salt to the earth. We're to try and be so different that we're preserving the good and stopping the bad. That's the role of us, the people of God, the church. And when the church is that different to the world, when our community is different to the other community, it attracts it. We have something different. We have something to offer. And then Jesus says in verse 14, you're to be the light of the world. And the meaning of light is such a great metaphor as well, because light is clear. It pierces the darkness. It reveals it. The darkness flies away. It's the opposite of darkness. What is the light that we're to have? Well, it's our good deeds. It's the deeds that we do for good. It's our character which is the light. We are people of the light. People who care about things like truth and righteousness and peace and mercy. That is the light. And the light is also sharing the gospel. We have truth. We have the truth that reveals deception and lies. And we have the gospel. And we are to share it with those around us. That is the light. But it's also the good deeds that we are to do, coming out of our character. The deeds that we do in the name of Christ, that we do for his kingdom. That is the light that we are to show. It's works of faith and it's works of love. They're all works of the kingdom. And our role is to shine this light into Avalon, into the suburb that we live in. We're to be like Barrenjoey Lighthouse, but not out into the sea. We're to be facing into Avalon, shining our light powerfully, flooding into the town and reaching into people's lives and into their needs and into their pain. Well, how do you think you'll go this week being a light to the world? Will your character just be so full of light that it will just burst forward? You'll take all those attributes of the Beatitudes and it'll spill out of you. How will you go this week? Will people see you and they will say, yes, you're like a lighthouse, it just comes straight out of you. Will they see us as a church and say, yeah, light comes from that place and it pierces the darkness? They are an influence for good. They bring light. It's tough, I think. It's hard to think how to do that this week. But it's good to remember that Jesus was the first one who said that he was the light of the world. It's his power and it's his strength. It's his example. In Philippians, we're told to shine like stars. But we do it under the power of Christ. It's his kingdom. He gives us his Holy Spirit to enable us to do it. When we get it wrong, we say sorry, ask for his help, and try again. But Jesus reminds us this light must be allowed to shine. You must foster this light. You must get it out there. And he says it's like a city on a hill. It cannot be hidden. He says like a city with all its lights on the top of a hill. It cannot be hidden. That's the kind of light we are to have. I don't know if you've been camping. I know a few people who like camping. Have you ever been out bush in the darkness where it's so dark? There's often, you know, there's noises and stuff at night time. But I've also been camping in Finland when I lived there. And when you go camping in the snow, it's dark and it's totally quiet when you're in the middle of the forest, and it's an oppressive kind of darkness. You can't see anything, you can't hear anything. It's oppressive, that darkness. But because it's so dark in the forest, you can sort of make out the nearest city, even though it's kilometres away. A city on the hill with its lights, you can't hide it. And it makes the darkness a little bit better, a little bit more bearable. You can see a place of comfort, of security. A city on a hill filled with light cannot be hidden, even in the middle of the night. In verse 15, Jesus says, neither the people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. It's like when there's a blackout, something we're familiar with here. But at night time when there's a blackout and you light just a candle, even a small flickering candle, and people gather around it, and that light is beautiful, that light is wonderful. It's just one candle. That's the kind of light we ought to have. It's crazy to hide it. The light must be allowed to shine, and to shine into the culture of Avalon. Avalon has a particular kind of culture. I'm still working it out. I'm still trying to meet people and observe things. But Avalon seems to be the place. If you move to it, you're moving there for a change. But once you're there, you don't want anything to change. It makes it tricky for developers and that kind of thing. But there's also a culture of lifestyle as king, a good lifestyle. People are here for the culture, and one part of that is the binge drinking. The parents are drinking in the house, the kids are drinking on the streets. That's just the culture. Everyone's doing it. It's just the way it happens in the Northern Beaches. And I think our temptation as the church is to separate ourselves from that culture and to kind of be Christian over here and to just kind of throw stones. Isn't it terrible, young people today? Isn't it terrible how it's unsafe to catch the L90 at night time? Isn't it just read the paper and just kind of tut, 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 tut. Isn't it terrible? But that's not what we're to be. We're to be embedded in the culture of Avalon. Our light is to flow in and around the town. We're to be different, but we're to be different in the community of Avalon. When salt goes into the meat, it's spread all the way throughout the meat, both sides throughout. When you spread salt in, it's to be in the very centre and all around and outside. And the community of light, the church, is to be embedded deeply in the community of Avalon, and yet to be very, very different from it. To be distinct. To be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. To be light and salt to Avalon. As a church, as God's people, we're to be like the beating heart of Avalon as a community and as a culture. Not to separate ourselves. When we say, oh, isn't that terrible? We have to ask, well, where's the salt? Where's the salt in this place? What's stopping it going bad? I want to encourage you to shine for Jesus. That's an expression that some of my friends' parents use. They use it when their teenage kids are going off to a party. They say, shine for Jesus, shine for Jesus. That's kind of a daggy expression. But it's also quite profound, I think. It's kingdom focused, because there are a lot of opportunities when you go to a teenage party to shine for Jesus. A lot of opportunity to do good, to be an influence of good, to be a peacemaker, to slow and stop the decay, to bring truth and mercy. Are you shining for Jesus? What if we think about our home groups? What characterizes our home groups? Are they communities of light? What about you? Are you, as a neighbour, are you the salt of your street? Is that the kind of character you have? And what about us as a church? Are we bringing light to darkness? Are we bringing renewal to decay in Avalon? If I ask a question, if I put it another way and ask the question, would our suburb miss us if we went away? If we took the church away, would Avalon miss us? Would it head into decay more quickly? Would Avalon darken if St. Mark's was to go? Would the council have to take responsibility for the poor, to take responsibility for the elderly, to take responsibility for the marginalised, to increase security and police presence, to pay for the free barbecue at the skate park. What would happen if we were to go? Would our suburb miss us? Or if not, what are we doing? Are we hiding the light? Have we missed? Are we missing out on the saltiness? Have we lost it? Do we love ourselves and our reputation more than we love Avalon and the people in Avalon? There are many places we can do it. On Thursday, it was a great eye-opening day for me because I went to Barrenjoey High in the morning to do scripture with Eric. And then I met up, I got there late, but I met up with the guys doing the barbie at the skate park across the road. And I was a bit overwhelmed. I thought, how can you be salt and light to these teenagers? So hard, you know. When you see Eric, give him a high five. He's amazing. When you see the team out there just from generosity and grace and the values of the kingdom, talking with those kids, showing love and light to them, encourage them. It's a hard job. But the call of Jesus here is very, very strong. He calls us to be salt. This is kind of a negative thing. It's to prevent decay. He calls us to be light, and this is positive. This illuminates darkness. We're to do good deeds and we're to speak the truth, to be salt and light. And to do it like a city on a hill, to do it like a lamp on a stand. And in 16, Jesus says, in the same way as that city and that lamp, let your light shine before men, before all people. Let it shine, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Because of our character, we can be an influence for good. People will see us and they'll praise God in heaven. And that's the blessed life. It's a blessing to us to live that way. And it means life and salvation to those people who live in Avalon. But it also means glory for God. Why don't I pray about that? Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we realize that it is tough to be your disciple. We realize that it is radical call on our lives. We ask that you would help us to be salt and light this week in Avalon. Give us your strength and your wisdom and your power to be able to be an influence for good and to pick ourselves up when we get it wrong and to trust in you because it is your plan. And it is your kingdom and it is your power. But we do thank you that you've given us this role and you've put us in Avalon. And I ask you to help us to love this suburb and the people in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.